Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm your host, Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center. Today's episode is especially meaningful as I'm joined by Audrey C. Lander, one of my favorite Gen Zs. She's also the Patient Process Manager at Assure Women's Center. Audrey plays a key role in guiding women through our patient process. Audrey, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you.
To start, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you first got involved in pro-life work?
Yes. Well, I am from Iowa. Very proud of that. No one else here is. And so I am from rural Iowa. And that's actually one of the reasons I started here was at the time I had a friend who was working here. She'd been here for a long time trying to get me involved. And I really didn't think that that was what I was supposed to be doing. I was too afraid, to be honest. But then Assure started preparing to open a Council Bluffs location. And I really had a burden for younger girls in Iowa. I did a lot of discipleship. And so I started right around that time frame, and that's how I got involved.
Good. Audrey, your position has changed a little bit, and so now you're a patient process manager. What led you specifically to this role?
The Lord is the truthful answer to that question. It's not something I ever pictured myself in or necessarily aspired to.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be where the women are, and I love patient care and passionate about it. And he had to grow me and prepare me for it, for sure. But it was a calling I knew he had given me to step forward in obedience. So I said yes.
Yeah, I think we probably share that testimony, if you will, to a certain extent. I never thought, I never aspired to be executive director for sure. But when the Lord calls you and he makes it very clear that this is what you're supposed to do, you can't really say anything else but yes until you, because you won't have peace until you do. So
it's one of my favorite verses is when it talks about how the Lord is faithful both to, he calls you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Yes.
And so he gives you the will to do what he's going to ask you to do.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said yes.
Thanks.
So what does your day-to-day role look like?
So we tell our patients even that we care for them in three different ways, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And my role kind of oversees the emotional and spiritual parts of the patient care that we do. So I am involved in patient care a lot. I'm handling some of the hardest patient scenarios that we have, and then also working with our volunteers and our staff who deal with patient care, scheduling them and helping them through those situations, and then also overseeing some of the process, which is what we use to guide our patients through their appointment, making sure that we remain relevant and how we're reaching them.
Good. So what do you love most about working with women who are considering abortion?
The women themselves.
Yeah.
They're amazing people. Mm-hmm. And just getting to have the privilege of spending time with them and sharing the Lord with them, sharing truth with them, and being a part of their journey is truly an honor.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite part. You get to see God at work every day, just really up close and personal.
Yeah.
And I love that aspect of it as well. It's an eternal work that we do here. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that you get everywhere.
Yeah, I was just sharing earlier today, of course, we're concerned about the baby and, we love the babies and we grieve when someone chooses abortion for that baby. But my heart is always for that mom, and the decisions that she's making, perhaps the circumstances in her life that she's facing and how tough they can be. And so I totally hear you. We want to serve the women because, honestly, we can't reach that baby until we reach the mom.
Right.
So mom is just as important as the baby. So,
sure.
Yeah. Can you share a patient story that has really stuck with you, one that's impacted you personally?
Yes, but there are so many of them that it's really hard to choose.
Yeah.
I remember the first one that I ever had that changed my perspective, I think, on who we were seeing. I had just started and we had a 15-year-old come in And she was very, very afraid because she wanted her baby. She loved her boyfriend. He was also 15. They were very, very attached at the hip. He was with her and very emotional because she wanted his baby. But her family life was extremely dysfunctional. And her parents were, I mean, it was her mom who called and scheduled an appointment for her because she thought she was scheduling an abortion. So she was really pressuring her towards an abortion decision. And I remember that during their ultrasound, when they saw the baby on the ultrasound screen, I mean, he stood at her head and wrapped his arms around her neck. And the two of them were crying so hard that both of their bodies were convulsing. I mean, they were just crying so, so hard and telling each other, it's going to be okay. We'll still love each other. We're going to make it. And that was just not what I pictured necessarily of their life circumstances. So I remember that one stuck with me. And another one was a little bit later. I had this patient here at the main office, but she had actually started with a volunteer advocate. And it was one of those situations, like I said, where when they are a harder patient, I get brought in. And so she had told her volunteer advocate that she wanted an abortion and this wasn't, you know, what she had expected. So it's my job to go in and make sure that we're clear on why we do what we do. And so when I walked in there, I was surprised when the first thing she said to me was that she was actually feeling judged. And then she went on to say, not that anybody here has done anything to make me feel that way. It's just that I'm judging myself. And her story ended up being that she'd had 13 miscarriages.
Oh, wow.
And she was in her late 30s and had never had a pregnancy carry. And so she was going to choose abortion this time just because she couldn't emotionally handle one more loss that was outside of her control. And so we talked for a good long while, and I said, you know, if you will stay, I'd be happy to guide you through this appointment myself. And she agreed to it. And one of the parts of our process is that we get to have a spiritual discussion with each patient if they'll allow us to. And I remember getting there and thinking, okay, we believe in this process. I know that it works. But, you know, for her to say she was feeling judged at the beginning of the appointment, Lord, please allow this conversation to happen in a way that she doesn't feel judged now. And by God's grace, that was where she most opened up, and she became tearful. And she said, this was exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. Everything about this appointment today spoke to all of my fears. Thank you so much. Can I give you a hug?
Oh.
And so just seeing the Lord change somebody's heart, even in the space of an hour, you know, they're not choosing it because they're angry. Yeah. They're just hurting.
Yeah. You know, I think you bring up a couple of points. One, our patient process, make sure that we minister to the young lady how she needs it, because we don't always know what's going on in her life. But our patient process allows us to, I'm going to say, kind of remain neutral and give her the truth that she needs and really minister to her. We really are faith-based. By faith, we are trusting that the patient process that we use brings up those things that we need to know. It brings up those things in her that will help her to make a life choice.
Right.
And then the other thing that I think what you kind of share, no patient, there's no typical patient. You know,
right.
Every patient that we serve comes with a different story, a different background, a different history, different experiences. And sometimes they don't line up with the way we think or what we think a patient that's needing our services looks like. And so, once again, just grateful for the work that you and your team do, and thank you for sharing those stories. So I'm going to ask you a tough one here. What's one of the most emotional or difficult patient situations you've ever experienced, and how did you or your team respond?
That is definitely a more difficult question, because honestly, the level of challenge, the appointments we see that are the most difficult, I think, are too graphic to share with the average person. The things that these women are walking through are beyond devastating.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of trauma and a lot of just really deep, deep hurt. And there's different kinds of hurt. You know, there's emotional, as she's going through a lot, just emotionally, kind of like that woman who'd had 13 miscarriages. Yeah. But then there's also trauma, you know, trafficking or domestic violence. Mm-hmm. We deal with that. And then there's also spiritual. And we've had patients who come in who are clearly possessed and they're being tormented, you know, spiritually. And so there are so many that come to mind. I know one of them, she was an older patient. And she had a close family member who was repetitively sexually abusing her.
Mm-hmm.
And this family member would bring a group of their friends, essentially, to do it all at one time over and over and over again. And she had gone to multiple people for help and nobody was willing to believe her because they heard her story and thought it was too difficult. There's no way that's true. And so when she came here, she was telling me, you're the first person to even believe or be willing to listen to what I have to say. And I have to have an abortion because there's no way I can continue living through this.
Yeah.
So that's one. You know, I know there's so many others. Yeah. You know, there's women who, I remember one came in and she was clearly and basically even telling me that she was had three different beings inside of her. Mm. She was, in her words, suicidal and homicidal. And she was very, very distraught. Mm. And so much so that my boss at the time stood outside the door praying while I was with her because it was such an intense appointment. So you get all different kinds of heart.
Yeah. And it goes back to from time to time, I will talk to our listeners about praying for our staff. Mm. You have no idea some of the spiritual warfare that we encounter when we're serving the girls that we do. And so if you're listening today and you've not prayed for sure or you don't know what to do, I would encourage you just to pray for our staff as we are serving the girls in our community, because we definitely need the support, the prayer support to protect us and to just allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, because we do work by script and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in the lives of the young ladies that we serve.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview, and it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center.
We're expanding our ministry to reach women who speak only Spanish, and we need your help right now. If you've ever felt God nudging you to serve with us and you speak Spanish, this is your moment to step in. We're hiring for multiple roles and actively looking for bilingual volunteer advocates. Lives are at stake, and we can't do this without you. Visit firststeptolife.com today to learn more and get involved. That's firststeptolife.com.
I'll share one of my most impactful, memorable stories, and I'm not necessarily involved in patient care, but just recently we had a patient that came in for a follow-up appointment, and she showed up at her appointment about 4 o'clock in the evening with a suitcase and her 2.5-year-old baby and nowhere to go. And as executive director, I kind of got involved because it's outside of what we do. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to put that young lady up overnight in a hotel, get her bottle, car seat, the things that she needed to take care of that baby for the night. Mm-hmm. And then we were able to work with a partnering organization to get her help. And I think for me, it kind of reminds me once again why we do what we do, because now she's pregnant and you're really being forced, or her family and boyfriend were trying to force her to have an abortion and she didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And so that experience was, I'm going to say, traumatic for me.
Yeah.
Super emotional, because she's the same age or actually younger than my youngest daughter. And it just made me realize we have to be a safe place for the girls that we serve. Thankfully, she was willing to come back and say, hey, you know, I don't want to abort. You know, I'm going to keep this baby, but I just got put out. You know, what if she had not come to us? And so we are here for these young ladies. And that's a story that I will forever remember. And plus, the baby cried every time I left the room.
No, well, the special part of that one, too. I mean, there's so many parts of her story that are impactful. But that was her third pregnancy. Yes. So her first pregnancy, she'd been forced into an abortion by her parents, actually. And then her second pregnancy, they had once again been trying to force her into an abortion.
Yeah.
She came here. Yeah. And so that 2.5-year-old that got so attached to you wasn't a sure baby.
Yeah.
And so then to have her come back a third time and know that we were a safe place was a privilege to see her. She's very brave.
Yeah, she absolutely is. I remember dropping her off or taking her to the partnering organization that we work with and just telling her, you're stronger than you think.
Yes.
And just really grateful that once again, she felt safe enough to come back to Assure and that we were able to help her. So, yeah. In your experience, Audrey, what impact does it have on a woman when she simply feels listened to?
I think it's beyond even just listening to her. It's making sure that she knows that we're hearing her for what she's actually saying, and we're not reading into her answers or putting words in her mouth. I think plenty of other people in her life are filling her mind with their opinions mm-hmm. of what she should do in her situation. And that's definitely what happens when she walks into an abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. They say, well, we'll take care of this for you. You don't have time to deal with this.
Yeah.
And so our goal is to put her in a secure position when she's just being validated and she's given the safe place to process through it with truthful and factual information. We operate out of the assumption that the vast majority of women don't want to have an abortion, but they do because they feel insecure and unsupported. Yeah. And so when we can offer her peace of mind and security, then most often she will choose to have her baby.
Yeah. So how does your team make sure that each woman is treated with dignity and fully heard and never pressured?
Like we've mentioned a few times now, we have a predetermined 15-step yeah. process. And so we say the same thing to every woman. And it's filled with factual, non-judgmental truth.
Yeah.
And truth speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to coerce her or mm-hmm. pressure her.
Yeah.
All we do is truly trust her enough to hear the actual reality of her situation and make the best decision for herself. And we know that that is life, and that is the decision she wants to make
yeah.
when given her own choice.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do.
Absolutely. Something that we say around here often, it's truth stands on its own. It doesn't need to be propped up. And so we can stand on the truth, mm-hmm. truth of the gospel, truth of what life looks like, and just the truth. And it needs nothing else.
Yes.
So good. What are some of the most surprising things women say or share in their appointments? Things that most people wouldn't even expect?
That's kind of tricky to say because I don't know what most people expect, I guess, anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't think of what is the, you know, patients come from so many different walks of life mm-hmm. and the types of things they say are very, very varying and different. I know one thing that a lot of people wonder about is why adoption isn't more frequently discussed.
Yeah.
And something that I don't think I expected to hear as much as I do is that our women are coming out of foster care situations yeah. themselves. They grew up in foster homes or they were adopted and it was a terrible experience for them. And so they say to me, I am never putting my child through that. I think that's something a lot of people don't understand or don't expect for the women to face. Another phrase that maybe people don't hear is, I'm personally pro-life. But not for other people. And, you know, they come in then when they're in their own situation, they think, well, in this instance, because I think it's okay for everybody else and my situation is so out of the normal, that's why I'm going to have an abortion, even though I know it's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so the way they justify it maybe would surprise mm-hmm. people.
Well, yeah. It's, you know, so sometimes we were talking about a typical patient. Sometimes it is hard to describe because mm-hmm. I think we all have an idea of what a patient that's needing our Assure services or another pregnancy center services, we all have an idea of what we think that patient looks like. It's a certain age and, you know, certain, perhaps a certain ethnicity, certain life circumstances. But we really can't say this is a typical patient because, I mean, tell us just a variety of patients that we've seen, like age and demographics. Mm-hmm. What does a typical patient at Assure look like? Or what's the range of a typical patient at Assure?
The youngest I've personally had was a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe Assure before I was here had a 10-year-old, but we've had multiple 12s. And then anywhere, the oldest woman I had walking and asking for a pregnancy test was 63. Mm-hmm. She was not pregnant, but that's kind of age range. I mean, most patients more like 15 to 45,
yeah.
probably.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to choose common factors between them, it would be probably social pressure. So school or work, mm-hmm. they have societal pressures that they're,
yeah.
They feel they're expected to live up to. Mm-hmm. And then also financial stress. And something that's unbelievably common is the father saying, whatever you want is okay, or
yeah.
he doesn't care. And to them, they think that that's supportive, but if the father speaks up and says, I really want you to parent this baby.
Yeah.
It seems that often that's the confidence they need.
Yeah.
So we're kind of teaching men, I mean, not us actually,
yeah.
but culture to say, support her no matter what. But
yeah.
I don't think they're feeling that as support. So that's a very typical thing too.
Good, good. Thank you for clarifying that. Once again, there really is no typical patient. You know, and what you think, I say what a person thinks is typical, go 180 degrees from that, and that will be one of our patients too.
That's very true.
So,
We will never stop being surprised.
No, not at all. Not at all. So what kind of situations or challenges do you think women are facing today that feel different from maybe 5 or 10 years ago? You may not have been around 10 years ago, but so what's changed in the time that you started to now that women are experiencing?
Definitely the pill is probably one of the most significant because it's made abortion so accessible. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that we'd have a little bit more time. Mm-hmm. She wasn't feeling so rushed or pressured, you know. She would be more willing to slow down. And now she comes here undecided. And when we call her in 48 hours, she might have already chosen and has the pill in her hand.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a change. And then I think culture's changed a lot, too. We see that in a great part of that is the spiritual aspect of women's lives, you know, because we address all three parts when we talk about spiritual things. They respond much differently now than they did when I started 8 years ago. So it's definitely, that's a shift as well.
How so, negatively or positive?
Well, seemed like back when I started, there was a lot of, my grandma took me to church. They were willing to have some religious affiliation, and now they're not, but they're very spiritual. So we're working on equipping our volunteers to feel comfortable talking about spiritual things and leading into it that way, instead of coming from a traditional.
Gotcha.
The gospel's the same,
right.
But the way that we introduce it when we first start the conversation, remaining relevant to her, it's definitely different.
Absolutely. So are there any common misconceptions that people have about the women who walk through our doors?
Yes, for sure. I think it's a little challenging because it seems like a lot of people who are pro-life have this picture of some angry, calloused woman who's just okay with murdering her baby. Mm-hmm. And that is not the women that we see. I can think of one patient I had who I felt that was kind of her perspective. And all this time, they're just not that way. They're hurting very broken and very beautiful souls who just, they don't feel that they have any other option because their lives are so filled with pain. And so when you look in her eyes and you actually hear her story, if you did not know the Lord, I bet you'd be understanding exactly how she feels because she has no hope.
Yeah.
And so they're just amazing women that it's a privilege to talk to, and
absolutely,
they're not as angry as the oppression leaves.
Yeah, I would agree. Our patients are facing real life circumstances. I mean, even the examples that we use, all of those. If I'm putting myself in her position, if I'm being empathetic, you know, why would I want to bring a baby into a relationship that has forced me, to try to abort? You know, or why would I bring a baby into a relationship where a close family member abuses me?
Right.
Or why would I bring, and so when we think of it like that, abortion is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to put ourselves in the situation or in the seat of that young lady who's walking through it and all the things that she is thinking about. And so my prayer for those young ladies is always, God, allow them to see that the circumstances that they're in is no greater than that life that she's carrying, or that life is more important than the circumstances she's walking through.
Yes.
And that there is a way out, and there can be help. And if we can allow them to just slow down, think about the situation, we can help you with that situation, but let's talk about this baby today and then work out those situations later.
Yeah, there are patients, we ask every patient who would support your decision if you decide to continue your pregnancy and who would support your decision if you decide to abort your pregnancy.
Yeah.
And there have been patients when I ask who would support their decision to continue, they'll say no one.
Yeah.
Well, you.
Yeah.
And, that's so validating of why we're here, but also so revealing of why she feels she has no other choice.
Yeah.
If we're all she has and we just met.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to the young lady that we, helped had to find someplace. Thankfully, she heard that. She doesn't have anyone else in her corner but a shore. Mm-hmm. And so just grateful that we're able to serve those young ladies. Audrey, what do you wish more people knew about the realities of unplanned pregnancy today?
I think that we kind of do young women a little bit of a disservice culturally because it's become so culturally normal and it kind of encouraged in the broader world, not the church, but in the world to explore sexually. And, if you are going to be in a committed relationship, you live together and do all these things before you'd ever commit. But then it doesn't seem like we teach them what happens if they do that? And so I remember sitting across from a 14-year-old. She came in, she was just crying. And she came into my office and she said, I had no idea. It only took one time. Nobody told me. Mm-hmm. And so I think unplanned pregnancy, we judge them for it, but we're also putting them in that situation in the first place. Right. So I kind of wish that there was more understanding of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a conversation earlier today just with someone that's my age, and we were just kind of talking about how we grew up and the things that our mothers perhaps said or didn't say, and you know, how we probably would have, you know, benefited from being more direct with, you know, or even why wait for marriage for sex and those things that we just kind of skirt about, even in the church world, you know. And so sometimes it is better to just be a little more direct and open and honest with the girls that, you know, I would say the ones that we serve, but in our personal lives, if I don't have a relationship with my girls that I can talk openly with them about relationships and the importance of relationships, where are they going to learn it from? Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think we've done a disservice to young women and young men because we've neglected to really talk about relationships and the beauty of relationships and the beauty of marriage. And yes, culturally, but I'd say even inside the church, we just don't talk about those things as often as we should.
Please join us next week for part two of our interview with Audrey Selander. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure.
We're expanding our ministry to reach women who speak only Spanish, and we need your help right now. If you've ever felt God nudging you to serve with us and you speak Spanish, this is your moment to step in. We're hiring for multiple roles and actively looking for bilingual volunteer advocates. Lives are at stake, and we can't do this without you. Visit firststeptolife.com today to learn more and get involved. That's firststeptolife.com.